Now in our feature story, Cosmo's further south in Mid-Canterbury's stunning high country.
I've just reached Lake Heron Station, and this is the end of the road. There's still quite a bit of snow on the mountains, and as I approach the farmyard, I can see several mobs of sheep, some cattle, and in the distance, the shores of the lake. I'm here to catch up with the Todd hunters and hopefully the shearers, because the wethers have been mustered and are getting shorn today. Philip, tell me about the history of the station here.
So it sort of goes back to 1917 when my great-grandfather bought into the place. It was a lease then, and he had a passion for merinos. He had managers until 1930 when my grandfather managed it from 30 to 45 for him. And from 45 until Anne and I turned up in the sort of the late 90s, we had managers and then we've lived here since. So the farm's about 19,600 hectares. We're a very long, thin property, about 45k long from one end to the other.
Wow. To muster the sheep must be quite challenging.
Not so much challenging, it's just good planning.
And have you increased stock numbers?
We haven't increased stock numbers dramatically. The main thing is to look after the stock that we've got better.
Yes. So what are your stock numbers?
So we're about 11,000 sheep made up of ewes and wethers and 700 cattle and 450 breeding cows.
Mm. Now, Anne, as well as farming, you've also diversified into tourism. Tell me about that.
So we started off in a very small way about 23 years ago, just restoring station buildings for accommodation. And things have just grown as our family permitted and as the farming permitted. And now it's got to the stage where it's quite a significant contributor to the income on the station. So we have accommodation that we rent out. We have a scenic flight business. Philip does the flying for that.
And Philip, you take skiers into the backcountry.
We do. So just over 30 years ago, my father went heli-skiing at Mount Cook and looked at the mountains there and said, oh, we've got much better mountains up the Rakaia, and invited alpine guides to come and have a look. And they said, yes, you do have great mountains. And so I've been doing the flying for over 30 years, taking people into our back paddock and the surrounding mountains.
How many staff do you employ?
So we've got a stock manager who does the day-to-day management of the farm, and his wife Sharon helps Anne, and then we've got two young shepherds.
And one of your shepherds is over there with a couple of working dogs.
Yes, that's young Johnny Miller from Upper Rakaia. He's just finished school and starting with us as a young shepherd. Very capable young man.
Now we are approaching the farmyard and we can see a mob of sheep.
So that are coal hoggets. We're slowly finishing them for the Celia contract. That's Alpine Origin Merino meat. And then those are wethers just waiting to be shorn.
You've recently mustered these wethers, haven't you?
Yes, they've just come from the Upper Rakaia, closer to the main divide. They're two-tooth wethers, so they're 2 years old, but we'll be shearing right up. The oldest ones will be 8 years old.
Tell me about the wool. What sort of micron is it?
So our wool is with sort of the medium micron, the active outdoor, which fits the icebreaker contracts. We've got a 10-year icebreaker contract, and they'll take all our wool that fits between sort of 17.5 to 21.5, and our clip meets that criteria.
Have you had the team from Icebreaker come here and check out the farm?
We've hosted many Icebreaker groups over the years, and their current catalogue, they came and shot some of the clothes for that here.
Okay. My name's John Templeton, and I'm employed as the stock manager here at Lake Heron. And I'm a third-generation manager.
What's the job like?
What I like about it now is because things have changed so much in the last 5 years with all the boxes you got to tick as far as farming's concerned, and likes of I'm not, it's probably not my strong point, so Philip, he likes to handle that side of it.
Yep, yep.
And I just basically got the easy job looking after the farm, really, which works well because he's sort of more that way inclined, and I'm probably a wee bit more the other way inclined. So you've got the rules and regulations that are enforced on you, but then you've also got people's own personal rules and regulations that they've, how they want things done. And Philip and Anne are both pretty environmentally focused, and you know it all adds to quite a complex parcel, really.
Yes, you have to do a bit of mind reading.
You don't always get it right either.
When you were a kid, did you always want to work on a farm?
No. I didn't. As a kid growing up, when I started work, or working in school holidays for a contractor making hay in those days, and I wanted to have a tractor contracting business. And it wasn't really until the day I left school that I thought, oh, you know, what am I going to do? You know, full time. And luckily, well, yeah, a guy down the road rang up Mum, Dad, and said, oh, here, young fella's leaving school, and got a job, and it was on a farm.
And you've never looked back?
I've, you know, tossed with the idea of doing something different, but I haven't really regretted it. Like, I've had my time over again, I'd still farm, I'd do a couple of things a bit differently. But...
Mm. Mustering must be a highlight of the year for you.
Yeah, it's an annual occasion that's been highly ranked for years, I suppose. You know, it's good to get out there and bring the sheep back from the high country for the summer and see some good sights and some good views, you know. So it's pretty special, really. And camaraderie thing, you know, you like a lot of the time guys that come to help are mates that you've worked with before, or, yeah, there's normally a connection. So it's good to sit around the hut and tell a few lies and have a few beers.
And, and it's shearing today. Do you have much to do with the shearers?
No. As far as the stock goes, that's my department, and the wool. Well, that's the classes, which could be someone from outside, or it could be a family member, or
yeah,
or the contractor might organise one for you, but generally it's organised by the owner.
I've just come into the shearing shed here at Lake Heron Station, and I'm with Grant. And Grant, you run the shearing gang that is up here today.
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah, where are you from?
I'm based in Rakaia. Majority of our staff are based in Ashburton, though.
How many farms do you work on?
Throughout the whole year, we probably were close to 120 clients. We travel up Rakaia, Ashburton Gorges, sort of over to Little River, and then down to Rangitata, and yes, sort of everywhere in between.
And it must be so nice coming up to beautiful stations like this.
Yeah, it was very enjoying coming up, driving up here this morning on a great day like this.
So how many sheep are you shearing today?
Well, we've got a full day ahead of us. We're probably going to do about around 700.
All the sheep are ready to be shorn here. We can see them in their pens.
Yep, Phillip's had a hard job a while back mustering all off the hill, and hopefully he's found most of them.
They're looking pretty good, aren't they?
Yep. Yeah, quite a bit of wool on them.
Philip said you hold a shearing record.
Yes, a merino weather record.
Tell me about that. When did that happen?
1999. We shore at Wrighton Station, a nine-hour day. We done 418 merino weathers. 405 was the previous record.
Yes. What do you love about shearing?
Oh, it's a great way to travel the world, for one, and the harder you work, the better you're paid, because you get paid per animal. But no, it's just the different people you meet and great friendships.
My name's Tuko, and I'm a shearer. Yeah.
How long have you been shearing?
About 14 years now. So I've been to Italy, I've been to Falkland Islands, been a few places, yeah.
Why do you shear? What made you want to do it in the first place?
Oh, it's a bit of a family trade, I'd say. My dad was a shearer, granddad, so on and so forth. My granddad's got a contract in Australia, so... Yeah, I was just born and bred, yeah.
Yeah. So do you mainly do machine shearing, or do you do blade as well?
Yeah. I'm a machine shearer. I've never tried the blades, but I've tried it once, but it's a bit too hard nowadays.
Can you make a good living off shearing?
Yep, honest wage, yeah. Anywhere between 80 grand and 100 grand a good shearer can make. You know, there's not many jobs out there that make that much money a year, sort of. Yeah, you know.
Mm. Do you prefer shearing merinos to crossbreds?
Oh, I don't mind shearing merinos. I like a good shearing one. You can get some real good shearing ones there.
What's the difference?
Oh, merinos more wrinklier. They've got a finer wool. Yeah, they don't comb as good as what a crossbred does, I say.
Mm. Are there a lot of young people wanting to get into the industry?
Not as many as what there used to be.
Why do you think that's the case?
Oh, it's a bloody hard job, I tell you. Yeah, make you or break you. Yeah.
I'm Liz Spooner, and I do the wool on the table.
What does your job involve?
I'm just skirting on a table and looking, taking out the seedy bags, the sandy bags, the fine wool, the rough wool, the yellow, and you know, cotty and all that, which is all different parts of certain fleeces.
Have you been up to this station before?
Lots and lots of times. Yeah.
What do you like about coming onto farms like this? What does it mean to you?
Oh, this is the sort of lifestyle I like. You know, I like this. I like this ambience. Talking with the different people, meeting the farmers, and like I said, I've been coming for quite a while. And I was coming when Phil's kids were only little. You know, and. I've been retired for a few years now, and then I've come back after 8 years retiring, and I've come back to work again.
Why is that?
Because it was boring at home, and this is what I like, the social contact. And
yeah. Do you know most of the team here?
I do. Tuko, Adrian, Grant, who is the boss, Jane, Kariena, Isaac, Tiara, I think his name is, Jackson, who's a good sort. But yeah, we've worked together for a while now, so we all know each other and get on good.
Are you exhausted by the end of the day?
I'm buggered.
Thank you, Liz.
Thank you.
Maria, what are you up to today?
So I am the wool classer in this shed. So my job is to grade the wool and make sure that the majority of the wool that is coming through is going to fit within the contract, and taking the bits and pieces out that aren't quite so nice, and then also making sure that the rousies are taking the skirting out, which is the edging around the sheep, and then the seedy backs and the sand and seed through the fleece as well. Mm. Yeah, just to make sure that the wool that we are sending away for our contract for the icebreaker is, yeah, what they want.
And you learnt wool classing from your grandfather?
Yes, yep. So
that's
I
pretty
learnt,
special.
Yeah, so in the shed, learning from him, stood next to him for a good 4 or 5 years, and that's sort of the best way to learn, is just looking at fleece after fleece and getting an understanding of how they compare and seeing the variation from year to year as well.
You must love wool.
Yeah, no, I enjoy it, although by the end of a good 3 or 4 days I'm ready to go back and do something else, but yeah.
When you're not wool classing, what do you do?
So I have just finished my study actually at the University of Canterbury doing mechanical engineering, but I have a position in Christchurch in the engineering firm. So for next year. So starting in a couple of weeks, but I had to make sure I had a couple of weeks off so that I could come home and class the wool.
And what's the wool been like today?
Beautiful, yeah. This is the, what I was saying earlier, the tender wool with a little bit of a break in it. Mm. And so you can see here, if I pull it, it's got quite a obvious break there. But, yeah, sometimes they take it in the contract. It just depends how much wool they need, really. Mm. But this here is our finer wool, and you can see it's got a nice... It's, yeah, reasonably even throughout the staple. And if you feel it, it's beautifully soft.
It's soft and light.
So that's
lovely,
yeah.
Isn't
so
it?
That's the main. Yeah. And you can even see this is both in the fine bin, but you can see there's a bit of a difference even here. That one's a lot finer. Yeah.
Gosh. So you separate each bale depending on the fleece quality?
Yes, exactly. Because, for example, if it's a little bit stained, it will require more processing to remove the stain from it.
Yeah.
And, yeah, then we take out the necks because they're a little bit shorter and they might be a little bit cotted together.
Yeah.
And then the backs, we take out the seed and the sand as well because it's just, yeah, it requires more processing. Whereas this nice main fleece line is... Yeah. Your even staple length. It's quite clean and it's got this beautiful white colour. So,
the music has started up, so I guess Smyco's over.
Back to work, yeah.
The table that you work at looks like it's had many a fleece across it. It's quite oily.
Yes, this would be years and years and years old. It would have seen hundreds of thousands of fleeces. So, yeah, no, pretty special place to work, really.
We've just come out of the shearing shed. Everyone's busy in there, shearing and classing and packing the wool. Now we are going to go on a bit of a techie tour of the farm.
We are. We'll have a look around and get a better perspective of some of the landscape.
Philip, what part of the farm are we on now?
So we're on the... just up above the homestead, looking down on our paddocks.
You really do have an amazing landscape on your doorstep here.
It's stunning and it's reasonably intact. You can see it how it always was. The woody vegetation is increasing. We can still see all the lines as the glaciers retreated from tens of thousands of years ago, and large wetlands and mountaintops and forests in the valleys that managed to avoid the fires.
Mm. Tell me about the glaciers up here.
We've got the Ashburton Glacier, the Cameron Glacier, Jagged Salt and Gridiron and Ryeshek Glaciers. Lake Huron Station has still got glaciers within our boundary, and that's part of the terrain that we ski on in the winter with the Methven Hilly Ski.
How high would your sheep go?
So we're looking at Teddy's Hill in front of us, and we've got this nice flat top with snow on at the moment. We'll get sheep right to the top of that. So that's 1,500, 1,700 metres high.
So will you have to muster right to the top?
That's the top beat on the third day.
We are driving through some dockland right now that you have an easement on.
That's right. So it just links with our Clint Hills block. We worked with three neighbours and the Nature Heritage Fund and purchased part of Clint Hills in 2004.
Does that mean you can increase your stocking rate?
We haven't increased our stocking rate so much. It's just given us more land, so we've got a bigger enterprise. So this is the Swin River. It comes off the Taylor Range and from the Clint Hills Saddle.
We can see some steep, jagged mountain tops in the distance. Are they part of your farm?
So we're looking up the Cameron Valley, and at the very head of the Arrowsmith Range, Mount Arrowsmith is the highest peak. And as we move to the right, there's Coolwah, Upham, Jagged and Marquee. And Jagged Peak, 2,700 metres, is the top of the farm.
There's a hut under one of the mountains, and inside Edmund Hillary's signature is etched into a piece of furniture.
Yeah, etched in onto one of the bunks. Double hut's a great base or staging point for climbing Mount Taylor. It's also part of the network of huts on the Tiaroa Trail.
It really is an adventure playground here for people who love the outdoors.
Wide open spaces and no big rivers to cross. There's walking, mountain biking, bird watching, or some peace and quiet.
Philip Todd Hunter ending that story. Cosmo was also talking with Anne and Maria Todd Hunter, Grant Smith, Toku Hapuku, and Liz Spooner from Rakaia sharing contractor ProShare, and Lake Heron Station stock manager John Templeton.